a series that's called The Cost of Christmas, and we have watched different characters go through this time, and we have seen that Mary and Joseph both had a cost applied to their time of this year when they had the baby, and we watched the shepherds and their sacrifice that they made and the purpose they found in that sacrifice. And we've also seen that Jesus bore a sacrifice during that time. And actually, the sacrifice continued until the time when he was hung on the cross. But there are a set of characters that we're going to look at today that also had an opportunity to sacrifice to a king, but some of them did and some of them didn't. And so we're going to be looking at the characters of the Magi or the wise men this morning, but we're also going to do what Matthew does, and he places them in contrast, and a very stark contrast to Herod, the king, and the religious leaders of the day who were in Jerusalem, and then the Magi. So there's three groups of people that we're going to be taking a look at this morning to understand what was the cost, and not everybody shared the cost of Christmas. And so we're going to be looking at Matthew, the second chapter, but before we do, as you could turn there as we're getting to that, but I'm going to give you the backstory here before we even start it. Because when we read the story, I want you to be listening for the characters. I want you to be hearing what they're saying based upon what you now know when I give you the backstory. So first of all, let's talk about King Herod. Herod was known as Herod the Great. He was the king of Judea, so this is the southern half of Israel, basically. Herod the Great was a very powerful king, but he was also a very, he was afraid of somebody taking over his kingdom. In fact, he was so fearful of someone taking over his kingdom that he had his favorite wife out of 13 killed, and he killed two of his own sons. Okay, so just put that in your context. In your family life, you take your wife and you kill her, and you kill your two of your sons because they're trying to take your throne away from you. Now, he had every reason to be scared of this, okay? Because he is not a Jew. Herod is not a Jew. He is an Idumean. Now, that doesn't mean anything to us, but that means he's from the line of Esau. So you have out of Abraham, you have the line of Isaac, which is the blessed line, and then you have the line of Esau, who is blessed by God, but is not the promised group of people. And so he's not a Jew, okay? But he's been placed into power by the Romans to be the king of Judea because he played a political card with the Caesar, that the Caesar liked, and so he put him in power. But the people don't like him, but he's powerful, and he takes people's lives. He has no problem killing people in the process. And so here is a man who is scared to death that somebody's going to come along and take his kingdom. And that's the backstory to the story we're going to read. Now, the second group of people I want you to think about are the religious leaders. Now, these are educated men, highly educated men. I mean, much more highly educated than many of us today, okay? They knew the scriptures. In fact, they'd memorized the first five books of the Old Testament. They knew them by heart. They knew the prophets. They understood what the prophets were saying, okay? And so these men understood what was going on, but they chose not to think about it, because they were connected to Herod. You see, the high priest had also been placed into power by Herod or by Rome, okay? So the priesthood as a whole was compromised and was politically motivated to follow whatever political line was helping them out at that time, okay? So they were moving based upon politics, not upon their faith or upon their religious beliefs. So those people. Now we come to the Magi. So the Magi, or the wise men we sometimes call them, we don't know a lot about them, okay? It just says that they were from the east. We call them kings, but they were really not kings. They were actually more like king makers. They were so highly educated. They were astrologers. They understood the stars, And they understood that what was going on in the stars. They actually had seen the star that had come together for Jesus' birth, and they said that is the Jewish king's star. They also were very educated in culture and in literature. And because they had studied, that we believe they studied the Old Testament, and they understood the prophets, they understood what was going on. And the reason they had those was because of the dysphoria, or the when the Jews were kicked out of or taken out of Egypt to Babylon, and then ultimately they went into Persia, where these kings were from. They were from the area of Persia, Iran today. These men had gotten the materials or the culture of the Jewish people and their teachings and their literature, and they had studied it. And they're Gentile people. They're not Jews, but they're studying it because it has benefit for all a culture. So they're very widely read, very widely studied men. They were solid thinkers. They understood what was going on, okay? So when you read about these people, understand they are Gentiles from the land of Persia. And then you have the religious leaders who are also highly educated men from Jerusalem. And then you have Herod, who is not a Jew, who is an Idumean, who is in power at that time. And now we have this big cauldron of characters taking place. And so let's read what it says in Matthew, the second chapter, from verse 1 through verse 18, with those things in mind. Now listen for these characters. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? For we saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem of Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time the star first appeared, and then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me, so I may go worship him also." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. And after the wise men were gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt, for the child and his mother. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." And Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under. And based on the wise men's report of the first star's appearance, Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and gnashing and mourning. And great mourning, Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are all dead. What a story that is surrounding this time. I want you to think with me a little bit more about these particular people. This is a picture of what some people think Herod looked like. This is a picture of the wise men, or excuse me, not the wise men, but the leading religious leaders of that day. And then just a kind of an artist's conception of what the wise men looked like, because we don't really know. Most people sometimes think that there were three gifts, there were only three wise men. But most scholars would agree that to say probably that's not true. There probably was more than that. We don't know how many, but there was probably a caravan of people from the east because they came over 1,200 miles. Okay, think about that. Over 1,200 miles for this purpose. And so let's talk about math, about King Herod to begin with. When I think about King Herod, this is what I think about. I think he pretended to worship. He had no intention, as we all know, he had no intention of going to worship this baby. And it says there, and then he, Herod, told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. You know, his intention was to basically kill the baby. He killed his wife. He killed two of his sons. And actually, there's a story, and I think there's some truth in this, that upon in his will, he had it mandated that there was his son, whose name was Antipas. His Antipas was supposed to be killed at his death because he didn't want Antipas on the throne. This guy is, he's evil. He's wicked, okay? But God uses this man to fulfill prophecy. He uses him. Herod pretended to worship. Herod was a poser. Okay? He was a poser. Pretending to be what he is not. So he's not a Jew, but he's called the King of the Jews. How can you be King of the Jews and not be a Jew? Okay? So he's a poser. He's a pretender. And we can learn from that because there are pretenders in our world. There are pretenders all over the world. In fact, there are pretenders as well. The religious leaders pretended to care about this. Now, I find it interesting that it doesn't say in the scriptures, and maybe they did do this, maybe they went back to their scrolls and to all the things, and they searched for this Micah, the second chapter, where they said, and O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. They just said, when he asked them, where is the Messiah to be born? They said, well, in Bethlehem. That's where he's supposed to be born. So if you were a religious leader and you knew that the prophet said that Bethlehem was the location for the Messiah, the king that ultimately would give open up entire to rule over Israel, if you knew he was going to be born, possibly born in Bethlehem, and somebody came for you, had traveled 1,200 miles to come and worship the king of the Jews because they'd seen his star in the east, and now they were coming to worship him, wouldn't you have gone the 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to check it out? But they didn't. Why? Because they're politically tied to Herod. And if they go to Bethlehem, Herod knows that they've gone to Bethlehem, and their lives, their positions, their prominence, their honor is all at stake. They could lose it all. And they thought, we're not going to lose it. We're not going to do this based upon hearsay or upon these kingmakers who have come into our area. Now, there was a point here where it said that everyone in Jerusalem was deeply disturbed. You know why they were deeply disturbed? Because Herod is ruthless, okay? And they're worried that their lives or their lives might be in jeopardy. In fact, he may put more taxes on them as a result of this. So they're worried about what Herod's doing. So Herod is controlling this whole thing. At least he thinks he is. Isn't that interesting? But then you take a look at the Magi. And the Magi came to worship. They literally came to worship. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Why would you be filled with joy when you see a star? So how many of you saw the Christmas star this last week? Okay, we all went outside and we looked at this astrological phenomenon where Saturn and Jupiter coming together and, it supposedly gave a brighter light. I didn't think it was all that bright, but that's just me. But it was really interesting, okay? But whatever they saw, whatever this was, okay, was significant to them, all right? It was significant. We have people that think they know what it was. We have people who think that it was the Shekinah glory, the same light that came out of Egypt with the Israelites that was guided them along the way. That is the presence of God, the light of God that actually went with them, that came, and that's what some theologians believe. There are others that believe it's the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn and another star. There's all kinds of speculation, but when look at what it just says, when they saw the star, it doesn't focus on the star, it focuses on their joy. The star, and by the way, don't focus on the stars. Focus on the one who the star points to. They were filled with joy because the star had led them this play. And then it says, they entered the house and they saw the child with his mother Mary and they bowed down and worshiped him. So what is going on here in this particular passage where they came to worship? First of all, they worshiped with their time and energy. Okay? I'm going to say they worshiped with their service. So they came 1,200 miles. They expended, okay, in dollars, they expended thousands of dollars because it would have taken that much money to get there. Okay? They brought expensive gifts. I mean, not just cheap things, expensive gifts. But they worshiped with their time and energy. They decided that they were going to do this. They also worshiped with their presence. Not the things you unwrap, but their actual presence in the presence of the king. Okay? So they came with themselves. So you think about this. And, you know, when we gather on a Sunday morning, we gather and, you know, although we can't see God, we know that he is here because his promise was that where two or three have gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Therefore, he is here and we worship with our presence. When we gather, we worship with our presence together. We worship with our service, with our presence, just like the wise men did. And they also worshiped with reverence. Now, the phrase says, they bowed down before him. That actually can say they actually fell on their face before him, fell to the ground before him. Now, these are learned men. They're educated men. They should have great honor for who they are. But they saw that the child was more to be honored than they were to be honored. And so they humbled themselves before one who was greater than they are. That's what reverence is, to humble yourselves before God for one who is greater than we are. So they worshiped with reverence. And they worshiped with gifts. So let's talk about the gifts a minute. The gifts of gold. The gift to a king. Okay? Standard gift to a king. You would bring him gold. It's the most precious metal. And then there would be the gift of frankincense. Frankincense was the deity, was the aroma of the deity. So they recognized him as God by the gift that they gave. And the gift of myrrh is a sacrifice for suffering and death. It's an aroma of suffering and death because the embalmers would use it on the bodies of those who have died so that the smell of death would go away and there would be a sweet perfume that came off of it. But they recognized that he was going to be a suffering savior in this process. Now, did they know that when they give it? Probably not totally. They knew that these were expensive gifts, but God has used them to kind of define who Jesus is, just like in the prophets. He said he would be king, he would be savior, he'd be priest, he would be the Lamb of God. And all those things are kind of found in the gifts that he gave. Now, let me give you a side note here, which I think is pretty significant. That when God asks somebody to do something, he always provides what they need. What was the next thing you knew that was going to happen? Now, Joseph doesn't know this at this time, okay? But in a night, he's going to know it, okay? And what's he going to know? He's going to know that he has to go to Egypt. Okay? Now, I'm just going to guess here. That's 1,000 miles to get from where they're at to Egypt. It's a long drive. Okay? It's even longer on a donkey. And that's probably what they had still. Okay? And by the way, we're probably in the range of between 0 to 2 years in terms of age because we know that's what Herod went after. In terms of the child. So someplace in that range. We don't know how old Jesus was. We don't know how long it's been. But we do know that they were going to Egypt. And if you were a poor carpenter, what are you going to go to Egypt with? Well, God provided through these gifts. Gold can be sold. The frankincense can be sold. The myrrh can be sold. And that was what provided them the trip down there. It kept them there until Herod died. And then it brought them back. And so where God asks you to go, God always provides. That's kind of just a side note. But I want to say that God used these Gentile magi, these Gentile wise men, to do something that was profound. Okay, they came to worship, but he used them to give legs to the prophecy that Jesus would come out of Egypt. He used Herod to do that very same thing. That he said, you know what, Herod, you think you're in control. You're really not in control. So if you're thinking about the politics of our world today, understand this. They may think they're in the control, okay, but they're not. God's in control. He knows what's going on. He's already planned it. And so the Magi came to worship. But I want you to think about this. King Herod did not come to worship. He came to pretend to worship. And when King Herod died, okay, nobody rejoiced. In fact, he died of a very serious, there's stories about how he died. It's not pretty at all. I mean, he was just totally self-indulgent. But there was no sacrifice to the king by Herod. He had no intention of sacrificing. Let's talk about the religious leaders, these pretenders. Jesus called them whitewashed tombs later in his ministry. Whitewashed tombs. What's a whitewashed tomb? That's a tomb on the outside that looks really nice, but on the inside smells like death. In fact, the inside is dead. That's what he says to them. You know, you have all the trappings of holiness, but on the inside you have no personal faith. There's nothing there. You know the scriptures, but you don't act upon the scriptures. You know what's right to do, but you don't do what's right to do. Because you're just on the outside one way and on the inside something different. And then you have the comparison to the Magi, who are Gentiles. They really have no stake in this deal, other than they wanted to come worship the King of the Jews, this baby who had just been born. But they came, they sacrificed with their service, they sacrificed with their presence, they sacrificed with their reverence, and they sacrificed with costly gifts. So the question really for us out of this story is, so how do you apply this to us? Well, there are all different kinds of people in this world. There are political posers, there are religious posers, and then there are true worshipers. And it's your choice. As you noticed, it's their choice. You can be a political poser, you can be a religious poser, you can be in church every Sunday, you can read your Bible all the time, but if you don't act upon what you believe, then you really are you're a religious poser. Or I shouldn't say you are, we are. It's all of us. We all have to ask this question. Am I a poser or am I for real? Am I like the Magi or am I like the religious leaders and Herod? And it's such a great contrast Matthew puts out here that we, at this time of year, can literally say, so what am I? What am I? And if you find yourself in that poser category, it's just a simple matter of saying, Lord, I don't want to be a poser. I don't want to be a pretender. Change me. Change me and the way I think to be more like the Magi and sacrifice to the King. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you that you give us words and stories, but those stories have such meaning. Lord, you have you work at showing us what people are like. And you show us what you really honors you. Lord, would you allow us not to be pretenders, but to actually worship you with our service, to worship you with our presence, to come into your presence and bow before you and reverence you. Lord, to worship you with reverence, with the gifts that we give. Lord, just allow us to worship you as you are intended to be worshiped. May we give you honor, may we give you glory, may we give you all that is due your name. In Jesus' name.